All right, nice enough to join us now from right down the hall here at the Big A from his announcing duties this afternoon. In 4 weeks, the Great Race Place will open at Santa Anita on December 26th, the traditional opening day, and there will be a new voice at Santa Anita. It will be a familiar one to Southern California racing fans and one we've had the pleasure of calling our own here on the East Coast for the past few years. Frank Miramati joins us now. Frank, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you, my good friend.
Great. So, SoCal boy, grow up going to the races, Hollywood, Santa Anita, Del Mar. This has got to be your home run in the bottom of the ninth inning at in the World Series, right?
It's a walk-off, and it's a walk-off in a game where this game was, it's one of those games, you're a big baseball fan, and I just read your tonalist tearjerker story the other, about an hour ago, and I know you love baseball, and I know you love horse racing. We're very similar, because after baseball, my next favorite sport with regard, other than horse racing, you're going to drop many, many levels. It's no comparison. These are the two greatest sports, so I love the fact, I just found that out about a couple hours ago when I saw your Facebook thing. But yeah, it's a walk-off in a situation where if you're watching a game, it's a baseball game, this game was already over, and somehow, some way, there's a miraculous resurgence in the bottom of the ninth. It's something that I could never expect. You know, we all have these ideal scenarios of what to hope for, but I would never envision that it would come about the way it did.
So we'll talk about this. 2016, there is a pretty much an audition at the Great Race Place for the announcer's job. There were some other contenders, if you will, but it really boiled down to Michael Rona, who had the job for the past 2.5 years, and yourself. Michael gets the nod. You head up to Golden Gate for a year. You wind up at Monmouth. What was that like?
It was a grueling experience, the audition. It was a very taxing situation. I was called the day before the announcement came that Trevor Denman was stepping down as the voice of Santa Anita. And I was, you know, when I got that call, I basically was told by Santa Anita management at the time that very confidentially, Trevor Denman is going to announce his retirement tomorrow. So the first thought on my mind is, they're not calling me this just as a news item. My first question immediately on that phone call was, is Trevor okay? I was very worried because it just seemed rather abrupt, and it didn't seem like anything that, you know, it just shocked me because Trevor's a very healthy guy, and he's a guy who loves his sport.
And a friend.
A dear friend. And he's my idol. And he's, you know, you and I would debate this, but he is the greatest of all time. And by the way, I respect who you think is the greatest of all time, because believe me, he's an absolute icon. They have very different styles, Tom Durkin and Trevor Denman. And I'm sure you'd come with Tom Durkin for that answer. Am I correct, or are you going to go back to
that? I would.
Okay. And I don't blame you. Believe me, I love Tom Durkin. I wish I had 10% of his talent. So my first thought as I got that call, I was actually calling the race at Los Alamitos when I got that call. And my first thought was, A, is Trevor okay? And then B, they're calling me for the job. And I immediately said, you know, I'll be there. You know, they said, we'd like you to come in. And then they explained to me that they were also going to bring some other people in and let the fans decide. And that Michael would be one of the people that came. And that when Michael was down there, I could go to Golden Gate. And I had actually called 3 days at Golden Gate many years ago. Of course, I called the fairs, the Northern California fairs, for about 9 years. But I loved my 3 days at Golden Gate. Golden Gate's a beautiful track, unbelievable view, great place. And then they said they might bring in some other people. They're going to just make this a worldwide search. So I had a great job at Oaklawn at that time. One of the best jobs and one of the best places. And some of the I've actually said, and I'll say it again, the nicest people I've ever met in my life are in Hot Springs, Arkansas. That was just some of the kindest, sweetest people that you could ever run into, and they certainly welcomed me there because I went in there in a very hostile situation with Terry Wallace leaving. No matter what, 37 years, they never hurt anyone else, and I came in. They were great to me. But to me, there's only one thing, and that's Santa Anita. When you grow up and you watch spectacular bed running and, you know, you ditch classes and take the bus on 2.5-hour rides from West L.A. down to Santa Anita and you just beg your friends to drive you when you're in high school and you're not driving yet, that's what it's all about. So I just said, I'm in. Bring me in. And I felt like, you know, I would be the favorite in that situation because I had filled in the previous 2 years for Trevor. And they were calling me. They knew I was working at Oaklawn and they wanted me to do work over there. I just had to feel that. I worked for a gentleman many years ago when I was in the advertising business, and he had a great line. He said, let your performance speak. And I thought about that line, and ultimately it just comes down to put up or shut up, right? So I said, I'm in, and I was very excited, and it was a grueling audition. I was given something that I felt was something that I will cherish forever, the opportunity to call the opening week of the meet, which would include, of course, the opening day. I can't tell you how many opening days. I have looked over the recent days at the Malibu Stakes history, the Big Cap history, the Santa Anita Derby history, and tried to remember which races I definitely was there for. And I have a photographic memory, and I remember so many of those races and where I was to watch those races, exactly what happened, who I bet on, whatever it was. And so I had that great opportunity, and then it became a rotation back and forth. And after my last period of time that I was there, which was after I called the Big Cap, they called me and they let me know that they gave the job to Michael Rona. And I said, okay. And there was really nothing to say. What are you going to say at that point, right? I just, I understood. I thought Michael did an incredible job. I've been quoted about my thoughts on that audition. And every word that I've ever said about that, I firmly believe. And another gentleman that I know, and I hate to always have to quote other people because I don't have a whole lot of my own original quotes, is mean what you say and say what you mean. And so it happened that way. And it was very, very disappointing, needless to say. I actually had a feeling I wasn't going to get that job leading to. I mean, it just there were a lot of things that told me it wasn't going to happen. So, therefore, when the decision was made, it wasn't like it was some. It wasn't like it was some devastating blow. I'm an alert guy. I was paying attention to what was happening. So, I accepted it. Telling my mom was the hardest part. I didn't want to tell her, and the look on her face when I told her. I didn't think she would take it the way she did, but she took it very hard, and I explained to her that I was okay with it. And again, it's something you just have to accept. You just give your best. The thing I was proudest about, Anthony, of that audition process is I know that I came with the best that I had. There were some that thought maybe I should try to alter some of the ways that I do things, maybe do things a little differently than I did, and I didn't feel comfortable with that. I had to believe that what got me there was the opportunity to what got me there was what I had worked, you know, my style. And so I just did everything I could, but I was proud that I gave the best I could. Like, if I look back, if I right now pulled up races from any day that I was there, everyone makes mistakes. We all made mistakes during that audition process, but I was very happy with my work, and they chose to go in another direction. And I realized very shortly after that audition how unimportant that whole situation really was in the big picture, because my mom was diagnosed with lymphoma within a couple of weeks of that. And
I didn't know that.
Yes, right away. And I took her to the hospital, and she lives in Santa Monica, and I took her to UCLA, and it was a very, you know, at that point, like, you know, who cares about anything? First of all, I had a good job. They offered me Golden Gate. I told them to hold off on the Golden Gate situation. Please don't put that in any press releases. Yeah, they offered me, and they made a very good offer to go to Golden Gate. But I said, please hold on that. And then the thing happened with my mom, and I took her. And at the end, the way it all worked out was it turned out that with regard to Golden Gate, I decided, because if I did Golden Gate, I had to give up Monmouth. And it got to a situation where I had to make a decision. I'd already given up Oaklawn. I love Monmouth. And at the same, but realistically, it made sense. Like, at a certain point, you have to look at it like, wait a minute, I'm going to travel across the country to Monmouth, and then I'm not going to have work at these other times. And I finally decided that I would go ahead and go to Golden Gate. I called Monmouth and told him that. Monmouth called me back and said, is there anything we can do? I said, of course there's something we can do. And they did it. And they you know, basically enhanced my compensation to the point where I decided I won't go to Golden Gate. Then I went back to Monmouth. When I went to Monmouth, it turned out that management, and it was a very kind gesture. Keith Brackpool, I spoke to him, and I said to him, by the way, if you guys don't know who your announcer is going to be at Golden Gate and you have an issue and you're willing to work around my schedule, I want you to know I would do that, but I have to go to Monmouth. That's just what I've decided. I'm committed to Monmouth. And they got back to me, and they said, guess what? You can do the dates around there, because they had some other plans the way they were going to do that. So it turned out I had a great situation, Golden Gate and Monmouth now. I go to Monmouth. Of course, you know, my mom's going through her stuff. Boom. August, right after the Haskell, 2 weeks after the Haskell, I got stomach cramps that are beyond belief, major pain. We don't want to get into a long story about it because it's been documented. I go in for emergency surgery in the middle of August for stage 3 colon cancer. And I was so lucky. You know, when you got to put everything in proper perspective, but I was so lucky that I was at Monmouth because I don't like to go to the doctor. I avoid it as much as possible. I have been very ignorant about that. And if there's one thing your listeners can hear in this interview that's of any relevance, it is please don't be stupid. And if you feel something, go to your doctor. And no matter what, and don't be afraid, because things can only get worse if you don't do it. The good fortune that I had, Anthony, by the grace of God, I had a guy named Dr. Angelo Chinesi at Monmouth Park who I had become friendly with. And let me just tell you this. Like, years ago, I met and became friends with Carolyn Hine, and I was actually also friends with Gene Stevens. A lot of people liked him. A lot of people couldn't stand him. I happen to really like Gene Stevens. He was a character. He was tough to take sometimes, but I really enjoyed him. And him and Carolyn were together for a long time, and when I got the job, they had said, when you go to Monmouth, I can't tell you the number of times she said to me, go see Angelo Chinesi. He's a dear friend. And it was almost to the point where I knew any time I talked to her, I'm going to hear this speech. Little would you know that that would be the seed. When I met him, and I turned out he's a player, he loves to bet, he likes the races, he's a fan, he's a great guy. Anyway, we were friends, and I called him and said, Doc, I got some serious pain here. And I went and saw him, and I told him I'd eaten some almonds and stuff the night before, and he felt my stomach. He said, maybe it's diverticulitis. He gave me some suggestions, and he said, let me take you to the hospital tonight. I blew that off. The next day I came in, I was in so much pain. And thankfully for me, in like the seventh race that day, I called the wrong horse taking the lead, and it was a terrible call. And he called my booth right after that race. He said, that's it. You're coming with me tonight. There was no way I was going anywhere. I was just going to take a couple days off and rest. And as it turned out, my colon was on the verge of erupting. And that could have literally been lethal. And somehow he knew that I didn't want to go to the hospital and made me follow him, tricked me in there, medicated me to maybe just calm down my, you know, the pain and also my reflexes or desires. Because I was never staying the night there. I'm like, I'm going to go home. And next thing I know, I stayed home. And in the conversations that I've been, you know, refreshed on with my mom, she was shocked at how nonchalant I was about things. Like, hey, Mom, I'm going to have surgery. Like, for me, she knows I don't even want to go to the dentist to get a cleaning, let alone anything else, right? Or a physical or any of that stuff. So I go in there, and the next thing I know, this guy comes in, and the surgeon, Chinichi, what a smart guy he was. The way he did it with me, what a salesman. He goes, listen, I got good news and bad news. Bad news is you're going to have surgery. The good news is I told the doctor, no matter what, don't give you a bag. I go, bag? What are we even talking about here? I didn't even understand what a bag was. I don't even understand this stuff. I go, what do you mean, doc? He goes, don't worry, Frank. He knows that you're a quirky guy. And the funny part about that was I don't want to get into too many details, but doc knew that whatever. Who can deal with that? You know, God forbid. But he just knew I was probably the last guy on that list. So I go in there. The surgeon comes in. Next thing you know, boom, boom. And I'm in surgery, 5.5-hour surgery. Come out of that, they couldn't even do a colonoscopy. They do it 6 weeks later, and then they find out there's more cancer. I have to have another surgery. Memorial Sloan takes out the rest. I have half a colon now, and praise God, I'm functioning very well, and I'm cancer-free. So the bottom line is, the whole point of that long segue was the whole idea of not getting the Santa Anita job at that point couldn't have been further from my mind. I was very grateful to be alive and be doing what I love. And the situation came. And fast forward, last year, Travis Stone decides not to come back to Aqueduct. Tony Alvarado sent me a picture of his tweet that morning, that when Travis had tweeted he wasn't coming back. I called him up. I said, bring me in, please. He says, would you give up? I said, are you kidding me? I'll give it up. And I left Golden Gate and I came here because here's the thing. If anyone understands life is short, I have to be a guy who's, when you've been in a hospital gown and you've been carved up, you understand, you don't, you never know, right? I thought about Aqueduct. I'm thinking, like, the first thing I think about when I think of Aqueduct, I just think Fred Capicella. It's just something, I'm like, that guy is one of the most cherished and revered voices of all time. I got to do it. I don't care how many days it is. I'll do Aqueduct because I do other things anyway during the year, and I came here and all of a sudden, this year was a good year, and they called me to come to Santa Anita. And so in my mind, I you try to think about what is your you know, how are things going to be in this world?
Yep.
It was certainly not the road I expected to take, and it's not one I would have drawn up. But
man plans, God laughs.
Exactly. And this, and you know what? Part of me really believes that I wouldn't have gone to another doctor, and that's probably why this happened the way it did and the way it was. I don't know. I'm not here to analyze it. I just know I'm...
You'd be dead.
Probably.
You and I have become good enough friends over the course of the last 18 months that I can say to you, off the air, on the air, you'd have been dead.
It's just an amazing...
But just do not, like me.
Don't be there. If you people out there are anywhere near 50 years old and you haven't gotten a colonoscopy, let me tell you this. I'm a guy that doesn't want to ever see it. That's really not that big a deal, a colonoscopy. But let me tell you, if they can somehow stop anything early... I would highly recommend it because you do not want to go through what I went through. That's for sure. And I just want to say one thing, if I may. And Michael Rona has been a dear friend of mine for a long time. And this is extremely difficult for me, and it has been. And I have not had an. I have not reached out to him yet. I've got to figure out what I don't know what to say right now, but I do know this. I certainly never went after his job. There's been some vicious stuff on the internet, which is so ridiculous. But I've wanted to, believe me, I'm very tempted to get to that keyboard and respond.
Don't.
I know I won't.
Take it from personal experience.
I can't
don't.
Do it. But I could just tell you.
You're down a very bad wormhole, my friend.
Yeah, I know. But there's been some real, you know what it was? I after about a day and a half of this, I retired from all message boards, all comments. And for those people out there on Twitter that maybe have said something and I haven't responded to you and it was nice, I basically have just taken, you know, here's what I have to say. Santa Anita called me. I never, ever have called them to ask for that job. That's crystal clear and everybody knows that. And they asked me to come in there. And that's a job that I've wanted since my idol was there, Trevor Denman, and I always wanted to succeed him in some way if it would happen. But I thought that that was very impossible just because I figured Trevor would be calling raises way longer than I would anyway.
Sure.
So, but anyhow, I'm very grateful to the Stronach Group for wanting me there. A lot of people have wondered, you know, why they are bringing me and this and that and the other. And I just think it's a matter of the management has a choice of what they want, and it's just the way it is. This is what they wanted me. And I'm grateful and I'm very thankful to take the opportunity. And it's the ultimate destination for me. And it's something that, look, I give my heart and soul to, I don't care what mood I'm in, what situation I'm in. I give my heart and soul every day at every racetrack I've ever worked. I'm very thankful to all the people that have helped me throughout my career. Thankful to the California Fairs. Thankful to Oaklawn, to Louisiana Downs, to Hialeah, to R.D. Hubbard, who let me call my first race at Hollywood Park, and all the other people in between. There are many of them. And, of course, the New York Racing Association to come down. Look, it's like anything. When you're running a race and you're at Monmouth Park, for example, you know, obviously they would be Oaklawn Park. I would never have this job if I had not called for 4 years at Oaklawn Park.
Sure.
And I felt bad leaving Oaklawn, and I know that I offended them by leaving. And Toby Keith told me this. Toby Keith actually reached out to me after I left. I was surprised. I had met him. I met Toby Keith the night after that Arkansas Derby, by the way. And we talked, and he explained to me how he writes songs, and it was fascinating. It had to do with the wheel and the spokes and everything. But Toby Keith actually reached out to me when I didn't get the job at Santa Anita, and he said, Frank, let me just say this to you. You don't leave a job for an audition. You leave a job for a job. And it's something that has resonated in my mind many times. But there is no price on your dream. You have to go after what you want in this world. And I had to do it, and I don't regret having done it. But I felt bad that Oaklawn felt betrayed by me leaving. And in the end, I didn't get the job that I was going for, and I feel bad. But I believe in my heart I would never have gotten this into this position because you have to – it's like anything. In order for American Pharoah to win the Triple Crown, he had to go and win the Arkansas Derby through Oaklawn. Oaklawn offers some of the best racing in the world, and it's even getting better now. And so they were good to me, and they treated me well, and I gave them everything I had. Let me tell you this. I'm a big boy. You would think that I'd be a guy that would have high blood pressure. I never had high blood pressure in my life until I worked at Oaklawn. It's a high-stress position there because it's not only the calling of races, it's the community activities, the Rotary clubs, the this, the that, and big fields, a lot of, you know, intensity. But it was very good for me, and it was a very fun four-year run over there. And Monmouth Park has been great to me. Everything's worked out. It's just like this is a dream come true. You know, very rarely in life do you get your dream come true, but this is happening. And you know, when that press release went out, it was extremely gratifying. And I really appreciate the quotes that I saw from Tim Ritvo in there, because if you want to make an over-under on the number of minutes Tim Ritvo and I have either spoken or seen each other, you could take the unders. We have not spent much time together, but, you know, he likes my work, and you never know in this world who likes your work, who doesn't, who wants you, who doesn't. But I'm ready to roll, and I'm going to give him my heart and soul.
All right. Jude, you still there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Jude. I didn't mean to ramble.
No. That's okay. I go back to
a lot of your horses out there, buddy.
Yeah, it's like riding secretariat. I just stay out of the way, you know. It was very informative and heartfelt, and but I will make a couple of comments. Please. Joe Hernandez, greatest announcer Santa Anita ever had. He's the only announcer, as far as I know, that has a statue of him in the paddock anywhere. So. When you should go rub Joe's hair every day when you walk into Santa Anita.
Absolute legend. anyone who went down in the line of fire in the middle of duty, and with his great calls, Joe is an absolute legend. I would think the other side of that area would you know, Trevor Denman would certainly deserve one there too.
He probably will have one someday. And also Angelo Chinnici, one of the greatest doctors of all time. I mean, a guy that, as you said, loves the game and all that, but he really is a great doctor, and he's not one of those guys that just wants to push you some pills and get him out of the office.
What a legend! Yeah. What you know what he has? What I try to tell people, like, when you hang out with him, you can never think like, this is my serious doctor, because he's such a cool guy. He has instincts like no other. His instincts on other people that I've heard about, it's just amazing. And he's just he's a big time man at that Jersey Shore Medical Center down there, that's for sure. And he is something that is very important to Monmouth Park. He takes care of a lot of people, and all he does is work.
Yeah, no, he's an outstanding human being. So I was glad you brought him up. I knew you would.
How can I not? I try to bring up everybody. I better bring up Dr. Zerkovsky, Dr. Snepbar, his assistant, and Dr. Patey at Memorial Sloan, because they were all amazing. And I went to the hospital in MD Anderson in Houston, and they wanted to take my whole colon out because they felt, but they, the one thing they did, and I thank Mattress Mac for taking me there, because he took me into his house and got me to that hospital, and I was going to do that surgery, and I could go for an hour to explain to you what the circumstances were that finally made me, but it was a mutual teller at Monmouth who ran into another doctor on an off day at a grocery store called Sickles, and she kept telling me, please call this guy. And I'm like, for God's sakes, don't give me the guilt trip with this. I'm going to take care of it. And finally I realized that my mom always used to say, God works in a mysterious way. If that thing doesn't happen, I have zero colon, because I had a date at MD Anderson to take out my entire colon. And Dr. Miller came through. We talked. You know, when I talked to Dr. Miller, I was talking to him about MD Anderson and Memorial Sloan. You know what he said to me? He goes, Frank, it's kind of like 1 and 1A. I knew right then I love this guy. He's talking about two hospitals, and he knew Dr. Patey, and he said Dr. Patey was a world. And I went to YouTube, and I looked up Dr. Philip Patey, P-A-T-Y. I watched a YouTube. I said, if this guy doesn't know about colon cancer, no one does. I could just tell. I looked at him. I liked everything I heard. And I could tell you guys this. We all remember moments where we were in certain races, right? You want me to tell you where I was when Songbird and Beholder came to the wire? I was in the TSA line flying back from my meeting with Dr. Patey. I took a couple days off at Golden Gate. That's where I always remember that I had to look at my phone to see how that race unfolded, because I was getting a second opinion. And he knew I liked pizza, and he drew a picture of your colon, and he explained, it's like a slice of pizza we're going to take off right here. It's exactly what he said to me. I go, what a brilliant presentation. As a salesman myself, he even said to me, I told him, I said, look, I feel bad. Should I do this surgery back at the same place? The guy helped me. And he goes, that's your decision. I said, well, what would you do? And he said, well, I'm me. I love that. And I said, I just feel like, you know, you got to go with your feelings, especially when you're going to the doctor. I said, Dr. Patey, I know you're the man. And I signed a consent there that said that they could take the whole colon if necessary. And I did Marv Albert for the New York team right before I went under, in that they were all laughing. I'm on the thing, and I was talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we are having some issues with the sigmoid, and it is time for Dr. Patey to do his magic. That's right before I finally went out to sleep. That was it. Absolutely, man. You got to go in with the right attitude. That place doesn't mess around either. My surgery was like 4 o'clock. They said, like, you know, be here at 2:20. I'm like, really? You get in there? Let's go, buddy. You did take your clothes off, put the gown on, get ready to rock and roll. Before long, and they're doing whatever they got to do, and they're rolling you in. That place does not mess around, and they get you moving too. They want to start making you walk shortly thereafter, and just unbelievable experiences. Unbelievable. If you have any issues, go to the doctor, ladies and gentlemen.
Amazing story, my friend, and I'm glad it has a happy ending. Pretty much your destiny. And in 4 weeks, Frank Muramarty will fulfill it. They'll spring the latch at the Great Race Place, and he will be the call. He'll be on the call at Santa Anita for opening day. Thanks for some time today. Celebrate tonight.
Yes, sir. Love you, Mr. Anthony.
Gonna tear it up tonight.
Let's go, man. You brought me a slice of pizza today in the fourth race. It kept me going. It was pretty good, too. You can ask my girlfriend Jennifer if I would take a slice of pizza on a plate from that where I don't know. I gobbled that thing up like Pac-Man eating dots. I normally wouldn't do that. But I took a smell of that pizza. Before, I was going to hand it right back to you because I didn't like the look of it. Took a smell. I go, that sauce seems unique. And I gobbled that thing right up. I sent you a picture of the plate that had two crumbs left on
it. You did. You're going to run it up on my man Neil tonight. I'm in Nelson. I hope he at the pick six or something here today because he's going to be tied on.
Neil Pancakes.
When that bill comes, it's going to be weigh about 12 pounds tonight when we're done with him.
And you and I are going to sit like Eddie D? Our hands won't be moving.
There was an old trotter at Yonkers. I bet every week, deep pocket, short arms. That's what it's going to be tonight, my friend. Deep pocket, short arms. Frank, thanks for some time. You'll hear Frank here at Aqueduct through December 16th and opening day at the Great Race Place, December 26th. You'll hear it right here on ExpressBet Radio.